Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to have those of you who are guests with us today. And we hope that today is a very special blessing to you. We're glad to have those of you joining us on Facebook this morning. And we appreciate you being here. Be sure, for those of you on Facebook, be sure and check in. Let us know that you are here. And we're going to have a great time today as we worship the Lord. Want to remind you of a few announcements. I'm going to go through these quick because they were rolling on the screen beforehand. Be sure to remember choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Small groups tonight at 6. Pastor Tyler and Brianna just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary, and they are on vacation. And that's good. And when they get back, wish them a happy anniversary. And but they are in Raleigh, North Carolina this morning. And but the young adult group and the Good News group, we are all going to meet together in the Family Life Center in the gym tonight. So if you come up here and the lights are not on up here, just go keep on going down in the parking lot, and you'll find us down there in the Family Life Center. Trail Life tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Ladies Quilting on Tuesday at 9. Mops Tuesday morning at 9, and then also at 6 on Tuesday evening. And then church board meeting at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. Wednesday, regular activities. So be sure and remember those. Grief share on Friday. We're continuing to receive our alabaster offering throughout the month of October. And if you haven't picked up your church shirts that were ordered, be sure and pick those up. And we do have an adult large, men's large shirt that is available if you would like to. If you didn't order one but you like it and you want to get one, first come, first serve, okay? We do have some T-shirts back there. Next Sunday morning, I've been rushing through those to get to this. Next Sunday morning, Dr. Jim Deal is going to be, one of our former general superintendents. He will be with us in the service next Sunday morning. If you have never heard Dr. Deal, you are in for a treat, and I promise you it's going to be worth your being here. He's coming for a district training event, which will be next Saturday. We're expecting over 100 preachers and lay people here next Saturday. The district is sponsoring this event, and it is going to be a great time as we're down in the Family Life Center. And Brother Richard Reed, many of you know Brother Richard. He is responsible for this and putting all this together. And so I ask you to be sure and pray for Brother Richard. The other thing I need to pass along to you about Brother Richard is Miss Carolyn, his wife, is not doing well. And so I ask you to be sure and pray for him and for her, and pray for Dr. Jim Deal as he's coming to minister to the pastors. And also Dr. Jeremy Selvage will be here next Saturday for that training event. It's going to be a great time. But Dr. Jim Deal, he's one of my favorites. I hate to say it like that. Isn't that awful? You know, there are some others in this room that he's their favorite. You know, and Fran knows who she is. So, you know. Anyway, it's going to be a great time with Dr. Deal next Sunday morning. Be sure to remember Bread of Life sign-up sheet. A Fall Festival candy. Thank you for the way that you have been bringing that in. We are in need of canned drinks. Just regular canned drinks. They don't have to be. What can they be? Kroger and Walmart brands? Samantha says it's to give away. And so we are in need of canned drinks for the Fall Festival. It's for one of the games. And so be sure, and if you can help us out with that, we sure would appreciate it. Anything else before speaking of Fall Festival, posters and flyers, be sure and grab some of those. They are out in the foyer, and we want you to put the posters up and hand those flyers out. It's going to be a great time here in just a couple of weeks. Wow. So glad that you're here this morning. Let's stand together if you're able, and we're going to sing, we're going to worship the Lord this morning.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. from the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature's unique song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the death of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns.
returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
This next song is not just a little chorus that I want us to sing, okay? I want you to pay attention to the words. This is a prayer. If there's anything that we need this morning, it's this right here for the Holy Spirit to rain down on us. So as we sing it, don't just say, go through the words, sing it a little bit. Sing it from the depths of your heart and say, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, you rain down on us today. Here we go.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Touch again, Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and friend, how we need your touch. Change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we've had to worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity now that we have to look into your word together. And I ask you, Father, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would indeed rain down upon us. May we receive from you what you have to say to us this morning. For indeed, Lord, we're not here by chance. You have something that you want to speak to our hearts and lives. And so, Lord, this morning we are believing you for that. I pray, Lord, for those of our congregation who need your physical touch. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done just in this week for people in our congregation. May you continue to bless. May you continue to help. And now, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, move on our hearts and lives, and for the good things that you're going to accomplish in us, through us, and for us, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is the third Sunday of October. Aren't you glad? You say, William, what in the world are you doing mentioning that? Well, let me tell you what happened 3 years ago on the second Sunday in October. Do you know? I came here as your pastor. And it's been an interesting 3 years. Yeah, I appreciate that, Eugene. I had never been in a place where 6 months into the pastorate, I just quit seeing everybody. You know, it was an amazing process, and all the things that we went through. I mean, it was an amazing thing that there for a year and a half, for all intents and purposes, we just saw each other on the computer screens. And, you know, you kind of had to get used to me on the computer screen, which was not an easy task. I understand that fully. but it has been a good 3 years. And I praise God for all the things that he has done. This morning, I'm going to go in just a little different direction than what we've been going the past few weeks. And really, I want to talk to you not just about the past 3 years, but I really believe that as we look into God's Word this morning, we're going to be able to see what can happen over the next many years. You see, I didn't just come to this church so that we could be here for a few short years together and then leave and then hope that everything goes okay after I'm gone. Amen. You should have jumped on that one, you know. And I came to this church believing that God had sent me here. I really do believe that. It was such an amazing process of things that happened and how God worked. I've told you this before, but, you know, we were getting ready for Bible school when I got the first call. That was around the end of May. And we went through all the summer long, and when I was going home that afternoon, I said, well, now, Lord, if this is really your plan for me and for Susie, then you're going to have to do something about David and Cindy. Now, David and Cindy, they were my two associates there. And within 6 weeks, David moved. That was an amazing thing to me. He had not had a call. He had not had anybody really even show any interest in him until that happened. And when that happened, he moved within 6 weeks to Houston, Texas. He is now in Champaign, Illinois, and is the lead pastor at a church there in Champaign. And it's been an amazing thing. Pastor Cindy, she and her husband almost immediately decided that they were going to be moving back to Pennsylvania where they had come from because of a family being there. And within a year's time of that, Paul went to be with the Lord. And I was so thankful that Cindy was with her family and wasn't in Louisiana and having to deal with that there. And then in August, we came and interviewed. And then in October, I came to be your pastor. And it has been an amazing 3 years, and you can take out COVID out of that whole process. And to think and to know the things that I believe God has done, it's been an amazing thing to me, because I've told you before, I had never heard of Crossville, Tennessee. Crossville, Tennessee was not on my radar at all.
In fact, I figured that I would probably retire in Baton Rouge. I really did. And so here I am as your pastor. And, you know, I've got a long time before retirement. I'm just going on with you. But I am thankful for the opportunity that God has given us, to be together. And I want us this morning to look in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, we're going to begin with verse 2 and read down through verse 8. And then we're going to get into the message this morning. Isaiah chapter 54, beginning with verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've already said it's been a good 3 years. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here and to minister to you. And over the past few months, it has been amazing the things that have happened. We have experienced, I believe, God's blessing upon us. We've sensed His presence. We've sensed His power. There's been a whole lot that has been accomplished. And I just praise God for your faithfulness in attendance, your faithfulness in giving, the faithful way that you have worked, and all the things that have gone on. The blessings, I believe, have been good, and what has been accomplished has been great. But I want you to understand one thing this morning. There's still a lot to be done. There's still a lot to be done. You see, God, in the passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, God, through the prophet Isaiah, is speaking to Israel about what's going to happen in the future. He's speaking to them about renewal. He's speaking to them about revival. He's speaking to them about what He is going to do in their midst because of all the things that have happened in their past. But I believe that not only is He speaking to them, I believe if you take this passage of Scripture, I believe you can apply it this morning as God, I believe, is speaking to us about our ministry here. I really believe this, that God wants First Church of the Nazarene, Crossville, Tennessee, to be all that He wants it to be. And I believe He has placed us here, as He said, as Mordecai said to Esther, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And what a beautiful passage of Scripture it is that I read to you. But it is also awesome responsibility. And so I want us this morning to look at what the prophet Isaiah is saying to the people of Israel. And I really want to pull it in and apply it to us today. How about that? Can we do that? The first thing that I want you to notice that the prophet mentions here is the enlarging. The enlarging. He tells them there in verse 2. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Some translations say enlarge the place where your tent sits. It's a wonderful thing for you to begin to think about. God is using this analogy of a tent to speak to the people of Israel about what He is about to do. He's using terms that they would really understand to tell them that a new day is about to dawn and He is about to do something very special in Israel. He's about to bring newness to a barren situation. He tells Israel, I want you to enlarge your tent. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We're doing trail life, and it's been kind of amusing to talk to some of the guys who are helping in trail life. Except for our troop leader, most of us don't have that much outdoor experience. You can tell by looking at me, I'm really not a true outdoorsman. I mean, my idea of camping is going to the state park where they've got sites already set up that have electricity and water. That is my idea of going camping, you know. Jack is doing his best to show us how to tie knots. Now, I do understand Jack is not just showing us how to tie knots for the sake of tying knots. I think he either believes that we're going to do something with those at some point in time, or you know, he's talked about teaching us how to build a fire. I know how to do that. You have a lighter or matches, one way or the other, you know. But I do know this much about camping, okay? You cannot put four people in a two-man pup tent. It just doesn't work real well. Either you're going to have to do something to expand the tent, or two people are going to have to sleep outside. As far as I'm concerned, probably three are going to have to sleep outside. The only way to accommodate more people is to have a bigger tent. I look at the church, and I'm not necessarily just speaking of Crossville First, okay? I look at the church on a worldwide situation. And in a lot of places, God is moving and the church is growing by leaps and bounds. In the Horn of Africa, they just about can't find preachers fast enough in order to take care of the congregations that are springing up there in the Horn of Africa. It is not that way in the United States. Now, I'm not trying to be discouraging to you, but to tell you that. I'm just being honest about it. And I think it's good for us to be honest about it. For some reason, we here in the United States have become very lackadaisical in the things that we are doing in relation to God's work. It is almost, in some places, to a point that you would say that the church is barren. And in a lot of times, what you find is that we have been too small-minded. We have just looked at what we have and not been tried to see beyond what we do have and what we can. Too often, folks, I think we have settled for second best. We have allowed ourselves, even in our own spiritual lives, to settle for small things when God really wants to do some big things in us. Individually, okay? But I also believe we have settled for small things when God wants to do some big things for us as a church. Brother Ron DeWitt, last Sunday night when we were in Cookeville for the encouragement tour, he really talked to us about this fact that we've got to move beyond just what we see and what we have to what God wants us to have. I've used this statement in other churches before. Kaylee is here. Kaylee and Michael came to visit us yesterday, and they're going to be here through in the morning, and they got to go to Bucky's. Michael was just overwhelmed by Bucky's. But I've told churches before, I might have said it here, I don't know. But I do want you to understand that we as a church are not just doing what we're doing for those who are here. But we are getting ready for those who are not here yet. For those who are not here yet. That's really our purpose. That's really our goal. That's really our aim. That we would move beyond just ourselves. I mean, God is looking at First Church of the Nazarene Crossville, and He's basically, I think, saying to us, expand your ministry. Expand the place that you have. Reach out as never before. That's one of the reasons that we're doing the Fall Festival. Now, I can't tell you whether we're going to have 600 people again or not. We may not. But wouldn't it be nice to have 900? If Mary was here, she would have just passed out in the aisle. It's been amazing this year. As people that I've seen, and I would tell them, my pastor here, as people would come to the office to try to sell us stuff, as salesmen would come through. And I remember one young lady came in specifically, and she said, "Are you the pastor here?" Well, I was the only one in the office that day. So, yes, I'm the pastor. She said, "I want you to understand, my family and I came to your Fall Festival last year." She said, "We were one of the first in line." I said, "It was a good thing." I said, "We had 600 people come through." She said, "I could tell it was going to be big." What an awesome opportunity we have to say to the community that is around us, we care about your kids. We want to give them a safe place to come and to have a whole lot of fun. You see, I really believe God is saying to us, expand. Expand your ministry. I'm reminded of a passage in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. And there it says, when he had finished speaking of Jesus, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We've not caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. What did Jesus basically say to Peter? Enlarge the place of your tent. And I really believe that God is wanting us to enlarge the place of our tent. He's been calling us to get out of our comfort zone. He's been calling us to enlarge. And many of us, we've prayed and said, Lord, we have worked, we have toiled, we've done these things. We've done, and nothing has worked like this before. So, Lord, why? And Jesus is saying, do it. You see, God is calling us to enlarge. God is calling us to expand. And I'm not talking about our building. I'm talking about our faith. I'm not talking about our property. I'm talking about our hearts. God is telling us to expand, to enlarge, even if it's just in our thinking, to enlarge the place of our tent because of the blessing that He's about to bring. Which does lead me to the second point, the expanding of all this. Because he says there in the second part of verse 2, he said, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. God is speaking to Israel here, and he says, if you're going to do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to have to open the doors wider. You're going to have to lengthen the cords on the tent. You're going to have to strengthen those stakes that are there. I found out a long time ago that really a tent is only as good as the stakes that are in the ground. If you don't believe that, get in a windstorm in a tent. If those stakes aren't secured, either the wind is going to be on top of you or it's going to be in the next county. I speak from personal experience. In that regard, you know. And if we're going to see the enlarging happening, that we're going to have to expand. We're going to have to strengthen our stakes. We're going to have to lengthen our cords. You see, we're not just an exclusive group here. We're not the only ones that can belong. There are all kinds of people that are out there that desperately need someone to open a door for them and say, you are welcome. You are welcome. And if we're called to enlarge our ministry here, then we're going to have to do some things. And it's going to require some stretching on our part. I just had my 62nd birthday. I know for some of you, I'm a kid. Thank you. For some of you, I'm already ancient. It won't take you long to get where I am. You know? And sometimes new things stretch me. Sometimes the new things, they stretch me and I think, oh my goodness, am I going to be able to do this? I mean, you know, I really have had to, all this stuff with the electronics. I mean, I've considered myself pretty computer savvy when all this started. But I'm telling you, this old dog has had to learn a whole lot of new tricks. I mean, really, I have, you know. And we have to stretch ourselves. And you know, sometimes in that stretching, there is some hurt that's involved. But please understand, we are not just here for ourselves. We are here for all those people who are not here yet, and they're going to be different. They're going to act different. They're going to do different. You know, there's going to be all kinds of different things, but we are here in order that we might do as the Apostle Paul said, by all means, save some. I've been amazed at how God has brought people into our midst and the talents and the things that God has been doing and the way that He has been working. You see, God is saying to us, you need to strengthen the stakes. You need to get the foundations down. You need to lengthen the cords so that as it begins to expand and as the ministry begins to grow, you're going to be able to handle and you're going to be able to do what I want you to do. You see, we can't have loose cords and stakes that are flimsy. We've got to have foundation upon which to build. We've got to get back to those basics. The basics of prayer and Bible study and helping and encouraging and teaching and caring and loving and evangelism. Oh, there's a nice word, isn't it? Ms. Mary Alice Langton was our professor, one of our professors in college. She taught evangelism in college. I'll never forget her definition of evangelism as long as I live. Ms. Langton said that evangelism is basically one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. She really wasn't talking so much about literal bread, okay? What she was talking about was the spiritual bread. And evangelism is nothing more than those of us who have Jesus in our lives, who have had the bread of life given to us. It is one beggar telling another beggar about the bread of life, about the water of life that will satisfy our souls like nothing else. You see, there has to be some expanding. There has to be some expanding in our thinking. There has to be some expanding of our outreach. There has to be some expanding of our love for other people. And I'm going to tell you something. If you pray and you ask God, help me to love people, I promise you He's going to do it. And you're going to love people that you thought you never could love as God begins to expand. You see, the prophet talks here about an enlarging. He talks about an expanding, but he also talks, and I've saved what you may consider the worst to last. Okay? So here we go. He's talking also about emptying. He's talking about emptying. He says there, beginning with verse 2, "Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities." And then he says, "Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. You will remember no more the reproach of your widowhood." And then he says this to him. He says, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." What is he saying here? God's telling Israel, don't be cautious. You say, William, we don't want to just go out and do something willy-nilly. No, I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about here. God is telling Israel not to be cautious. He's telling them not to hold on just to themselves and to their means and to their abilities. You see, the enlarging, the expanding will only happen as Israel empties themselves and they are filled with what God wants to do in them and through them and for them. He reminds them who He is. Brother Ron DeWitt, last Sunday night, talked to us about the fact that sometimes our God is too small. He's not talking about the God of the universe and saying that. He's saying that the God that we have in our mind many times is not the size of the God of the universe. The God of the universe is our God. I mean, he goes on and he explains to Israel all the things that he is, who he is. And sometimes we do look at God and think, well, this is beyond. Please understand that when we reach our beyond, God has just started. The old song says, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Isn't that good? You see, we have to empty ourselves and allow God to come and to fill us and to make us into the kind of people. You see, the reason that God doesn't get to do what He wants to do is not because He has a problem. Uh-oh. You see, the reason that God doesn't get to do what He wants to do is because many times we have the problem. Might I get a little more personal? The reason that God doesn't do what He wants to do is because we are the problem. We're holding Him back. We're limiting Him by our lack of faith. It's interesting when you read about Jesus and the miracles that He performed. Do you realize that the Bible tells us that He went some places and could do no miracles because of their lack of faith? Can I tell you what that does? That challenges me. That makes me think, Lord, am I the reason that we're not seeing what You want to do? And I really think we ought to ask ourselves in prayer that sometimes, Lord, is it my fault? Is it my lack of faith? Am I not doing what I should be doing? You see, we've got to empty ourselves of everything but God. Allow Him to fill us. Allow Him to do what He wants us to. And sometimes it's going to require us to step out on faith and do some things that are far beyond what we think we are capable of. But folks, I have found out over 40 years of ministry, it's only when we're willing to step out on faith and take a risk. Sometimes that's the only time that God can really bless us like He wants to. I am not about to propose a building program, so get that off your mind. You know? I'm not about to propose some outlandish something to the board. I'm just telling you, we have to begin to think beyond what we have and look to what God wants to give. Praise His name, and He is willing. He tells Israel, don't hold back. Give it all to Me. Trust Me and see what I will do. It's only as we empty ourselves and become vessels that He can fill, that He can begin to do things that we can't even begin to imagine. I really do believe that God wants to do something great. I've been to a lot of places. And I understand that we call ourselves a resort community, a retirement community. Why don't we call it a re-enlisting community? Where we determine that we are going to do everything that we can do in order to see God work and people come to know Him. Because I'm telling you, folks, there are people all over Cumberland County that don't know Jesus. You say, William, are you judging? No, I'm not judging. You can tell by the way they live. Amen. You can tell by the way they live. And is the reason that they're not part of a community of believers, is it because Christian people have failed them? Is that the reason? Didn't figure I'd get an amen or an omen on that one, you know. Oh my goodness, folks. All you got to do is go to Walmart. All you got to do is go to Lowe's. All you got to do is go to Rural King. All you got to do is go to Kroger. All you got to do is go to Food City. All you got to do is drive up and down the streets of this town, this city, whatever you want to call it. And there are people that desperately need Jesus. Conclusion. God is speaking to Israel here in this passage of Scripture. He's speaking to them about enlarging their tent. He's speaking to them about expanding their situation. He's talking to them about emptying themselves so that He can fill them. And I really do believe what I'm about to tell you. If I did not believe what I'm about to tell you, I would not be saying it. Okay, folks? I really do believe that He is speaking to us today. He's been moving and he's been working. Do you realize that the last time that our MOPS group got together, remember we've only been doing this a year. The last time that our MOPS group got together,
There were 19 kids, 13 moms in just the morning session. Somebody ought to said amen. And let me just go ahead and tell you, in that morning session, we need some help with childcare. Don't all of you volunteer at once. In the evening session, we've got moms that are working that come in for that evening session. Had a brand new mom the last time that got together. Our Trail Life group. It's not growing fast, but it's growing, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Jack Deals, who is our troop leader, and I'm glad he knows what he's doing. We're feeling our way through that. And I believe God's going to use that to do something great and wonderful and bring people into our congregation. We're already beginning to see that. The past few weeks, folks, we've had some Hispanic ladies who work on Sundays, but they've been coming on Wednesday nights, and one of them is interpreting for the other, and as I'm speaking. And you don't think this preacher isn't excited? You see, I really do believe that God is opening doors for us, and he's saying, I want you to enlarge your ministry. I want you to expand what you're doing. I want you to empty yourselves and allow me to fill you so that the things that I want to do here in Crossville can be accomplished. Oh, God, help us. You know, I look at verses 3 through 8, and he talks about who he is, and then you go on down into verses 6 and 7 and 8. And he talks about the things that have happened and how that things did not go so well for Israel. But he's saying all that's going to come back. All that's going to be renewed. And I really do believe that God is going to do something great for us in Crossville. I'm telling you, I want us to dream some dreams. I want our young men to have some visions. And then what the prophet Joel said? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see some visions. Or do I have it reversed? I just now caught myself, I think. You know what I'm talking about. Either way, I'm telling you folks, I want to see God do some things in the next 3 years that we can't even begin to think about. That we can't even begin to think about. And the reason I use 3 years is because that's when my next review is. Oh, God, help us. I am so happy to be here. I'm so happy for what I see God doing. And I know in some ways we're about to run you ragged with a schedule that's full every week. Well, it's at least full every other week. This happens to be the full week. Don't sit back and just watch. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll see if it works. If we sit back and say, I'll see if it works, we are part of the failure if it happens. Sometimes we have to stretch. Sometimes we have to expand. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things don't happen. But I do believe that God wants to do some great things in us, through us, and for us. I believe the best is yet to come. So can I tell you what we need to do? We need to enlarge the place of our tent. We need to expand our thinking and our love and open our arms as God begins to move and as God begins to help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the past 3 years, they have been unlike any other 3 years that I've ever had at a church. None of us could have planned for the year and a half that we were watching on computers and in videos. But despite all of that, Lord, you have blessed. And new things have grown. And you tell us in your word, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Watch it as it springs forth. So help us, oh God, that we might believe and that we might trust you. That we might be willing to enlarge
the place of our tent, that we might enlarge our ministries, that we might expand our arms and expand our love and expand our vision and our dreams. Help us, O God, that we would do all this first and foremost by emptying ourselves and allowing you through the power of your Spirit to fill us. We are not doing this so that somebody can look at Crossville First Nazarene and say, wow, look what's going on there. We're doing it because there are people who are lost, who need you, who if we don't do what we can do, they may not find you. So help us, O God, that we might indeed enlarge the place of our tent, that we might strengthen the foundations and the stakes and lengthen the cords so that you can come and do what you want to do in us, through us, and for us. Thank you for the history of this church. What a wonderful history. And you've put us here for a specific purpose. And that purpose does not end today. That purpose continues. And we want to be a part of what you are going to do. So we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you are going to do. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And so, Lord, I ask you that you would bless us, that you would help us, that your Holy Spirit would rain down on us, and that we would indeed see great and mighty things come to pass, things that we can't even begin to imagine right now, but things that you have in store for us. And so we give you glory, honor, and praise in advance for the good things that you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. I'm so glad you were here this morning. I hope that the Lord has blessed you, and I believe God's going to do something good for us, not just next week as Dr. Deal comes, but in the coming years. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Remember, we'll be down, both of the on-campus groups will be down in the Family Life Center tonight. The Peavine group will be meeting up at Mountaineer Realty there at, it just left my mind. Help me, Garrett. Peaks of Hope. Thank you. God bless you. We'll see you this evening.